Oh. How's the goalie thing going?
I'm gonna be joining a league next week. So every Saturday morning I'll be doing that again, which is nice, so I'm looking forward to it. I've still been playing on Fridays. I'm doing practice and stuff, and it's been going well. It's a lot of fun. But finally get to join up a league, which will be nice. I'm looking forward to it. So I don't really race on Saturdays that often. Usually I race on Sundays. Except my first race, which is two races, but whatever. You can
Well,
follow
Sean,
me at.
I'm just glad you're finally getting off your ass.
Hey, what was our discussion this morning? Sometimes you need to lay in bed and do nothing.
No, seriously.
That's me a lot of the days if I'm like trying to relax because I'm up too often, TBH.
Me too. Okay, so I think in honor of Black History Month, I should start the podcast. Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio
Hey,
Face. I'm Dan.
I am Sean.
And this is Audio Face, as I just said a moment ago, because I'm a professional host, and it's a podcast about music news and music culture,
Episode
and basically
36.
whatever we want to talk about. Whatever we want to talk about, pretty much. This was a very, very big week in music, seriously. This was exciting.
A lot of releases and lots of shit.
What do we have? We have MGMT.
We got Franz Ferdinand. We got Don Diablo,
We have
got
the
the
Wombats.
Wombats. We
And they
got some
were.
like little random singles and other news and bullshit and lots of things. It's been a busy week. We were
It's gonna be a
joking around
great
this
week.
whole week saying like, "Oh, this is gonna be like a three a 7 month podcast because this one episode's gonna take us way too long to make." So we'll try not to make it too long. I don't want to do Young Joe Rogan 3 hour podcast with Joey Diaz because I ain't got that time. But you
We don't
know,
have the Alpha
but.
Brain sponsorship yet. Once we get that magic fairy powder, then we'll definitely be working.
Is this also like, can I get my own Onnit gym too, or what?
Yeah, I just want a
Like,
float tank right up in Free Speech Studios up in Berkeley.
do they make pools too, or what? Like, can I get just one 50-meter lane by myself so I don't have to deal with humans when I swim?
Forget like a
That would
50 meter
be.
lane float pool so it's salinated and you can like have that caveman coffee stuff at the same time while you let's not get further. This is crazy.
Then you're gonna start talking about coconut and I might die, so. Anyways, first. What is this single or not single?
This is a
First
single. This is from the
news.
singles of the week. These are singles of the week that we find are kind of relevant. We want to talk about for a little
Oh,
bit.
that's right. They did share it. That's why. Awkward.
Oh.
You hop into.
I can do this. So this is Sarface and Doom. Sarface is Inspected Deck and Boston Duo L7L and Esoteric with Doom. And it's a lot, but altogether they released this. They're going to be releasing an album. And what's the album called? Sarface meets Metal Face, which is interesting. It's very like comic inspired. It's very doom heavy. I
I
listened
say
to
this
it.
this is super doom heavy with the comic bookness. I
Yeah.
love it.
I listened to it and what do you think, Sean?
I liked it. Because fuck it. It was kind of strange. I only listened to it once. I need to listen to it again, low key. But like it was weird because I remember we had our Doom discussion like last week, and then I'm scrolling through Instagram and I see this pop up. I go, wait, what the hell?
Facebook's
Like
listening.
it was I guess I don't know his real name. God damn it, I was gonna be clever, but I'm not that
Daniel
cool.
Dumile. Dumile.
There we go. Thank you. Dan, there's too many Daniels, so I'm just gonna call him Doom. Fuck it. All caps. Spell the
All
man's
caps and
name.
spell the man's name. Anyway,
Anyways,
so.
yeah, that popped up, and I go, "What the hell? He already did another album with somebody. That's cool." And yeah, it was all right. Nothing special, but what's your opinion?
It's good that you mentioned that conversation we had last time, because I forget the exact context we were having the Doom conversation, but I think he was either on another song, or it was because he had been announced to be producing. Actually, no, we're going to be announcing
Oh
that
no! It
later.
was Bishop Nuru is what we're talking about with Doom.
Well, yeah, it was related to that, but we talked about how I really wanted Doom to kind of like stop making music. Only because I didn't want him to drown his
Right.
career and have like a bad period, and we like kind of had a moderate disagreement on that. And right. this is like, you know the audio face rule. I'll listen to the first single off the album.
Yep.
Starface Meets Metal Face is coming out March 30th. I'll try to reserve judgments, but like, it's barely holding together. It's nice to hear Doom kind of in this element. It's like the nostalgic part of me really likes this, but like, I hope the album doesn't sound too uncle rappy. Like, and I don't know what that's gonna, I don't know. Like, I'm worried. I don't want my Doom sense to be tainted, if you will, right? But, I mean,
we'll see.
It might be that way.
We'll see.
We'll see.
It's interesting. I mean, I didn't mind it, but granted, I only listened to it once, so if I listened to it a few more times, I might have been a bit, but I think that was more the nostalgia hitting me, because I'm like, oh, I miss Doom. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a while. He's had a rough go of it. We'll be talking about Doom a little bit later, too, because Doom all the time. But anyways, Calvin Harris, this is a late ad, so I don't know if you listen to this, Sean, but Calvin
no,
Harris
I didn't
Party
even hear
Next
about
Door.
This. Whoa.
Calvin Harris and Party Next Door released Not Ready, Not Ready, and I don't really care for Party Next Door that much, but Calvin Harris is someone I've been really like interested in looking at because he said he's doing something different from Funk Wave Bounces, which in itself was a really different album, which I really enjoyed from last year. And this
yeah,
one sounds a little more electronic, but I don't know. It still sounded, in the one time I listened to it, a little bit fresher. And we'll talk more about electronic music later in the episode. But I think it was like, okay, Calvin Harris is incorporating some slightly different things. He's tweaking. He's in the tweak phase. But I'm not losing hope on him. I'm definitely excited to see what he comes out with next.
Whoa. I mean, sorry, no, I was just reading something. Yeah, I didn't get to listen to it, but what do you mean by, like, fresher? If I can elaborate on that.
I guess it shares, you know how electronic music just kind of has, like, a type, right?
Yeah.
It strays away from that, and I wish I could describe this to you better, honestly. Like, I just listened to it this morning once, and that's just how I came away from it. I wish I could describe how better, but, yeah. Maybe smoking too much weed at this point. Anyways, A Perfect Circle. Do you want to add to that? Because this is something you sent to me earlier in the week, and I think this is an interesting thing, because A Perfect Circle, they haven't released an album in 14 years.
Yeah, it's already been 14 years? Holy shit. Really? Well, because I liked them for a little bit, because James Aya, who was the guitarist for the Smashing Pumpkins, that was his other band when he left the Smashing Pumpkins a while ago because Billy Corgan's fucking crazy. And Perfect Circle started up, and I'm like just shocked it's been 14 years.
It also featured,
because time goes
so
by crazy.
The vocalist from Tool as well.
Yes. It's like a mini supergroup. Not like an Atoms for Peace level supergroup or anything, but one of those bands where it's a bunch of really good guys that have a couple different areas in music and make good shit. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So when is it coming out? The 20th, I believe? Yeah. 20th of April. I listened to the song. It was fine. Nothing too crazy or special, I meant to say. Because they can be kind of a little mental at times.
In what way? Like, kind of just, like, loud all over the place? Because, I mean,
yeah.
If you have someone from, like, Smashing Pumpkins and someone from, like, Tool, that can go in a lot of places. I'm not super familiar with what they sound like, but
yeah, I mean, kind of, like, I mean, if you look at the album cover, that kind of speaks it for itself, for Talk Talk. Because it can go almost like Marilyn Manson way at times, but the song itself was pretty relaxed for being rock compared to what they've done before, but it's good. We'll see what happens. You know, the audio face rule, as I say. But I was honestly kind of surprised when I saw it. I didn't think they would be doing anything again. I know they played a couple live shows in 2012 and 2013, and I don't know if anything recently, more recent than that, but yeah. We'll see what happens. I saw your thingy. Yeah, so April 20th, we will definitely review that. album coming for you, and see, especially because we had that discussion on Rock too, two episodes ago. So that's what I was thinking
dead?
When I listened. Yeah, is Rock dead? And when they announced the album, I was kind of genuinely shocked. I go, well, we'll see what happens, and if they try to bring a different element into their genre or what. So really looking forward to it. Actually, we'll see. What
definitely
happens.
Go back and listen to that conversation if you haven't already. But I think
it's damn good.
Something we came out of that conversation with is that this year is going to be an interesting year for rock. You're going to get to see, like, this is when a lot of new things are going to cycle up for rock, so it's going to be very interesting. It'll just be,
right,
do those things stick, which we have kind of have yet to see. But we're about to get to the proper, those are the singles from this week. Do we even say the name of the single? Talk Talk is the name of the single.
Talk Talk. I thought I did. Awkward.
Before we get into the news portion, I just want to say that we decided that Audioface is in that part of its life where we decided to kill it and start over. No. Audioface, we have decided to have social channels for everything. Right now, we're going to mainly focus on Twitter and Instagram. So, very simple. Follow Audioface at AudiofacePod. Okay? So, go on Twitter, go on Instagram at AudioFacePod. Follow us there. We'll be just posting our thoughts about music. We'll be retweeting some, like, sources and things that we like throughout the week. We want to interact with you. We had some cool interactions on Twitter this week as well, so thank you for doing that. But yeah, it's going to be a little fun thing. It's also going to be fun on the Instagram stories. Sean and I are going to kind of be having a long-distance back and forth throughout the day. He's going to be doing his triathlete stuff. I'm going to be doing my student and getting trolled on the internet by 14-year-olds who love Ben Shapiro stuff, and it's going to be fun.
Whoa.
Hashtag whoa. No politics.
whoa. Getting in there. I see.
Get in. But yeah, follow us at AudioFacePod if you haven't done that already. Thank you.
Yeah. So we will start our review. We'll start the lawn. Good stuff. By the way, we'll talk about Black Panther after we've seen the film, so shut the fuck up. I don't have time or humans to go with to see the film, but I will do it for the people so we can review the Musica. All right.
Listened to a little bit of the album. I'm going to hold what I want to say about it, but I'm just going to say part of what I want to do with reviews, because we did this with Phantom Thread as well, even though the soundtrack didn't come out. It came out a lot later. But I like to, when we do film reviews, and it's going to be like kind of sparingly at first, at least, well, we're kind of experimenting this out, I want to review the music in context with the film, because a soundtrack album is just kind of a little bit of a different beast than what I kind of expect from MGMT's new album, which we'll be talking about right now, basically. So we'll be seeing the film next week, because that's coming out.
Because then you could do like the context of the album. It's like what I did with Phantom Thread, where Phantom Thread was like, hey, the soundtrack was like another character in its own, because it was so prominent in the film. We'll do that for Black Panther as well, basically. How it went along with the film, if it did or if it didn't, if it fit the theme, and Soul Fighter. Soul Fighter, Jesus, I say that too often. The two Germans listening to the podcast. So we'll let you know what we think of that, and we'll go into it. So, anyways, first of the four albums is MGMT, Little Dark Age, one of my favorite bands of the past 10 years or so, whenever they started, 2007. Absolutely love their work. Was really, really looking forward to this. When all the singles kept coming out, I was restraining myself really hard. I listened to them like twice each, and I go, I gotta hold off, because I know I want to wait for this album and see how it works and flows all together, and then I'll start listening to it like crazy. So this week, this week, there's been like four songs that have been on repeat. Like, I've just been walking around my house and doing training and shit with this stuff on.
How's Mochi?
Mochi Industries, where I do my podcast, is my young little kitty. Well, she's not really young or little. She's a big fucking cat. She's a full-grown female giant cat.
If you want to see some, hey, that would be some great incentive to come to follow AudioFacePod on Instagram, especially because there'll definitely be some cats.
You will see Yun Mochi Industries in her full. She ate a little something, I don't know what, and was sick, but she's on, like, antibiotics and some formulaic food to get her better. She's doing better.
Let's go back to MGMT. Stick to
this. Sorry, I just went on a normal conversation I would have with you. Awkward. Anyway, she's doing better. I'll talk to you after the podcast.
No, I just love screwing with you.
All right.
But you were
anyway,
saying,
she's doing better.
Go ahead.
Yeah, she's alive. We're good. Anyways, so this album.
You're listening to this as you're walking through your house. That's what you were saying. That's what you were left.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's 10 songs on 44 minutes. Perfect. Thank you. All of these, three of these albums were like 40 minutes or less. Beautiful. Awesome. Keep it like that. Thank you. Anyways, the first song, She Works Out Too Much, is kind of strange. To say the, it was like a little, it could have been a lot shorter. And honestly, it was a little dragged out too much, like a little prelude that they should have just made like a 2 minute thing before it pops into Little Dark Age, the song. Then 2, 3, and 4, Little Dark Age, When You Die, Me and Michael go hard, especially When You Die. That's a damn good song. Really, really, yeah, like you can tell, like it's one of the few songs I've heard the past couple years where it's really, really intense, where you can feel like the pent up anger, the pent up things, but in a musical way that's not just straight screamo, you know, or
yeah,
you can really feel what the message is, and it's beautiful in that way. Then Me and Michael, which is the fourth song, is like almost feels like an 80s theme to it. There's like two songs, Me and Michael and James, that have this weird 80s kind of groove electronica thing with it. They're good. I like it. It just kind of threw me off for a second. But anyways, there are two songs that were instrumental songs that kind of threw the album off. I think it's Days That Got Away and One Thing Left to Try, I believe.
So 7 and 8. So we're near the end of the album.
The last two are slower, almost acoustic songs, which they've done in the past before, and I like them to end the album, which is good. But those two, 7 and 8, if they had one of those, maybe like Days That Got Away, and cut it in half, then put another song to kind of bring up the mood, this album would be almost perfect. But with that said, they have those two songs, and it felt like it got a little strange at that time where it goes, okay, why are there two instrumental songs where it's like 8 minutes of this? It threw it off, where the beginning half of the album is just awesome. Really, really good stuff. Latter half kind of disappointed for that. But the last two songs are good. Like Hand It Over was really, really good. I know what they're trying to do, but for me, it didn't work for that. Rest of it, beautiful. Really, really good. What you got to say?
Wait, so what I want to say specifically on the point of Days That Got Away and One Thing Left to Try. So yeah, they are like slower songs, I guess, but I liked both of them. And this is coming from a person who tends to just kind of not...
They're good. They're definitely good.
I think, and rather than getting rid of one, they could have done what I think Gorillaz does when they have like slow songs, like two slow songs in an album, where they just put one kind of near like the middle beginning and one kind of near the middle end, just to give it space as an album. And maybe they could have done for some better spacing as that, but I said, one of the first things you said about this album review was that it's 10 songs, 44 minutes, like, as God himself intended, because we've even just been talking about last week how Migos and all these other artists are pumping their albums by making them, like, two-hour experiences with, like, 45 songs each.
It's like, dude, you're not making an opera, you're not making a giant piano piece, you know, you're not making all of your preludes, what the hell? But doesn't like, need to be 2 hours long of trap, goddamn.
But like partially it's because of how you're gaming the algorithm system.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
there
yeah,
are some arguments to be made for it. Like I think the jury's still kind of out there, what we're just like two smug assholes on a podcast, but like the main point there is that I made the case, that argument, that I'm not going to be so nitpicky with how albums are sorted out when they're shorter. I'm just going to, anytime an album like kind of makes sense together, I'm just going to be proud for that, just because the Overton window on what I expect has shifted so much. So even with that little minor quibble, we're talking about that because this is MGMT, and I think it's totally right that we talk about that. Right. Because like now we're talking about like the creme de la creme, because this, I agree with you, largely they made a great album here. And I'll talk about that more in a minute. But yeah, I think they just maybe moved the songs around that would have done the trick.
Okay. I can see what you mean with that. Yeah, because I genuinely like slow songs. Like, that's why Sigur Rós is my second favorite band.
And I like fast-paced songs, which is why I was a candy kid at age 16.
Jesus Christ, I'm a candy kid. And that's why I like house, like progressive house. It's the same thing. It's slower. But anyway, like it threw me off in that way. Yeah, I guess if they changed the order up, it might have flowed a bit better. Kind of spaced out the 2, 3, 4, 5, and do it that way. So. All right, I want to hear what you got to say.
So before I basically largely echo a lot of what you said, because the album is great. I think they did a really good job. I like the pacing. I like the sound. We talk about the best song on the album, by far, Slamp.
Slamp? Really? All right.
What does it stand for? It's like something on my phone. At my phone.
What does it stand for? What does it stand for? To slamp? I fucked if I know.
Time spent looking at my phone. There we go. And so...
Time spent looking at my phone. Ah! Yeah.
That took longer than it should have. But I found myself coming back to this song constantly. It's like,
damn good song.
As I was chilling. As I was like, I haven't... So... This needs to be, like, one of the top alternative singles of the year.
Like, wow, shit. It's that... Really?
Like, it's got groove. It's got chill. It's got good. Funk. Like...
It's like it's a combination of everything that alternative music can be.
And not only that, like, I... And maybe this is a little bit telling about my personality, but I'm always kind of, like, rolling my eyes at people who are really preachy about phones and things like that. We actually have a conversation that we'll probably do in a couple episodes from now, maybe next week, maybe a little bit later, about certain artists who are starting to ban phones from their concerts, or like ban photography in general. And I have my own opinions about that, which we'll talk about later. But generally, I kind of err on the side of sometimes it gets a little bit preachy, but I was listening to the song as I was sitting on a BART, our train system in the Bay Area, and like time spent looking at my phone was everyone there. And I've kind of noticed how I hate being a pedestrian here, and I'm always, like, people are bumping into me, or, like, I'm...
Oh, yeah.
Just because they're paying attention to their phones, people are almost getting hit by it. And it's just... It's one of those social commentary things I think is kind of hitting on the head. Lyrically. It's perfect. So, that's great on. Also, musically, it's just so catchy, and it's... Yeah, it's... I don't know, like, the vibe I feel from it is, like, chilling on a beach in Santa Cruz, like, with sunglasses, but kind of... being appalled at the modern condition at the same time, if I could describe Sean.
I do like that song a lot. I didn't even think that you would like that a lot. Like, one of my favorite is Me and Michael, is that shit is catchy as hell too.
I think Me and Michael is really good as well. I think my favorites were like by a country mile. By a country mile.
All right.
But then Little Dark Age is actually a really big favorite, too. But, yeah.
Little Dark Age, Delicious. Probably mine is When You Die.
Go ahead.
Damn. Well, like, it's hard. Like, it's funny. I was thinking about it. I'm like, we haven't done this, and I think we should, by the way, for all next reviews. Or if we can do this. If you can pick one song of your favorite of the album, we should say that. Like, along with the grade of the album, we should pick one song that we
like. I agree. I think we did this a little bit in the beginning, and we just, like,
beginning,
kind of
we definitely did. But now, I think we should bring it back, because this is an album where I go, shit, I don't know what my favorite song will be, but probably be When You Die. But there's, like, four or five songs that could easily be be it, because I just keep listening to it over and over and over again.
But I think there's a pattern. Wait, to wrap up my review really fast. I think there's a pattern in what we're talking about with the album here that kind of wraps it all up, is that the beginning is full of a lot of heavy hitters, and in the end, it's not bad, but it kind of trails off a little bit. And that's something that I like knocks the album from being otherwise very close to perfect. Like,
yeah,
I don't say that lightly. Arbitrary Scale, I'm gonna keep it simple because we have a lot of albums to bang through, and we're only like literally too deep into the main part of the rundown and 30 minutes in. So, let's do letter grades.
Just simple, yeah, bog standard. I'm giving it I want to give it the Sean and Dan's guide to succeed in every school, which is overachieving underachievers, which is straight 90%, straight A.
Right?
Minus. Right at the line, which is you do the most amount of work to get the highest grade, or sorry, least amount of work to get the highest grade possible, which is what we did all throughout our entire school.
That's how we got this school.
Everything. That's how we've done it. That's how he's still currently doing it, and that's how he's graduating from Berklee.
The least amount of effort possible to look as good as possible.
To get the highest grade possible.
It's a fine line. I have not been hitting it lately, but it's a fine line.
You have not been hitting it at all. And that's what this album is. It is borderline perfect if they redid it a little bit with the order. I'm giving it a solid 90%, which is interstellar. A minus. Good shit. One of my favorite albums I've listened to in a long time. Really good shit.
They're like back to basics, but like revisioned kind of synth pop with like a modern flair like thing they did. Really good move.
What's I've been yelling at? Maybe listen to Audio Face Podcast. I'll add them on Twitter and see what's up.
We're getting relevant. So yeah. I'm putting it right at A minus two.
Sweet, good. I was listening to this, and I go, all right, Dan better like this shit because this is too good.
I mean, there might be some controversy later on. Remember, we have.
There's gonna be controversy when it comes to Don Diablo, definitely. But
there's Don Diablo. There's the wombat, and there's the wombats, and there's Franz Ferdinand later on. But anyways.
What the hell? I just read the what's on the rundown right now.
Audio Face is known for many things. And one thing it's known for is our interesting fascination with death.
Fascination with dead artists.
The tagline should have been Audio Face before the bodies are cold. Because for a couple weeks there, I'll never forget how you were calling celebrity deaths accidentally. You had mentioned like a band obscurely in one week, and the next week some member of them died.
It has Allman Brothers. Yeah, I did that. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
There's like two. And then we think of Park happened, Requiesca and Pache, and yeah. That was rough. There was like three or four weeks in a row where that kept happening. Like, I'm just gonna stop talking.
Cut podcast in 9 episodes. Okay.
Anyways.
Frank Zappa.
Fucking shit. So apparently, Frank Zappa, his hologram is gonna go on tour later this year.
Oh Jesus! What in the? I love this country.
What in the Lord Jesus is going to happen? He died, 30 years ago, maybe?
So, this is an interesting conversation I wanted to bring up, because just in the last episode, episode 35, we talked about the whole Prince hologram and Justin Timberlake thing, and how Prince's like family was like, hey, let's not do this, but apparently they were a bit divided on it, and ultimately Justin Timberlake didn't do it at the Super Bowl to have this other like projection thing. This is the direct opposite of that. We're just going, let's just do a Frank Zappa hologram and go balls to the wall.
Seriously. No, and 25 years ago, 93. Still, right. I was like, what the hell? That's A, hella random. But B, why? Stop the holograms. Jesus. We did it once in 2012. It was cool, but you could tell Snoop legit thought it was Tupac for a second. Getting a little too much of that Susquehanna weed. And, yeah. This might get out of hand very quickly.
So you're still very much, like, firmly on the side that you don't like the idea of these, like, posthumous hologram performances, unless they're, like... I think we came to a middle ground on how specifically planned they are. Exactly. I think that was, like, our middle ground. But, specifically planned they are by the artist. Like, how... Basically, if the artist consented to having the posthumous performance, and... Zappa's son, apparently, and maybe that's an interesting thing. Do you think that Frank Zappa's son should have the right to kind of say what goes on? Because he has the seal of approval on it. He says, "My father and I actively discussed 3D and holography, and it was a concept he actively engaged in. He actually devoted half a chapter in the Real Frank Zappa book to the subject. This is a love letter in the journey to celebrating the genius artistry of Frank Zappa. On a personal note, I feel like I'm finishing something my father started years ago." So this might actually be that line here, where he may have, like, kind of approved of it. Because, again, it's so long ago that he couldn't have said, "I want a hologram, and I want people to be able to take selfies with." Like, we didn't know all the terminology, but...
Right.
This is an interesting line. He didn't know the exact idea, but it's not hard to extrapolate that he want, like... Not that he wanted to be a hologram, but that he was interested in the technology and, like... was something he was passionate about. Is that enough of a jump to make me one? What do you think?
Shit. It's hard. It's not like Prince, which we were about to get to, which he says no go.
Well, that was just like a side note, really, because I forgot to mention that Prince actually really hated holograms.
He hated
the idea of them. And so, yeah, I didn't know that last week either. I just learned that researching this. And so, that's, like, probably an extra reason why it's a good thing that Justin Timberlake didn't do that. But back to your point about this, not to cut you off.
Well, yeah, I mean, if... Shit. It's hard because it's, like, something that, since you're gone, you don't know if they would like the technology or not. You can kind of... you could try to assume based on what they liked before, but everybody changes as they grow older.
And this is his son, so you might think that if there were some vehement disapproval of, oh, well, he's talked about holograms to me before, and he's really interested in this, but, you know, he took me down and said, "Son, don't you ever fucking make me a hologram, or I'll haunt you from the grave."
Right? Like, I'm coming down for you. I got that young Grim Reaper with me, you coming up back with me.
I will possess Trump, and the estate tax will go way up.
Jesus. All right. Hashtag politics.
Imagine just Frank Zappa possessing, like, Donald Trump just to hike taxes.
I'm with it. Fuck it. Why not?
Well-known socialist Frank Zappa.
Well-known Marxist. Neo-Marxist.
Anyways, so not to derail your point, you're still on that line where you don't know if it's, like, straight approval.
Yeah, this is the border. This is the line that I'm like, I don't know if I want to cross it or not, because if he's super into it, it's almost as if you're giving your blessing, but you can't really give your blessing because there's, like, they didn't have the technology at the time.
Right.
Like, you can kind of fiddle with the idea, obviously, but we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah.
You stumped me on that, so I don't have a clear answer for you, and I hate that, because I'm German, I need to know everything.
I think it's something that we can evolve, or, like, not know if you'll
evolve.
Yeah,
I don't evolve
it. Position, but we might have to see how this is, because I think there's also a line where
how's the performance
is the performance, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, and you know what, I'll give it a shot if they do go through with it. I think they plan to, and I will watch it and see how it is, and I might change my opinion on it, or I might not. So we will
keep updated. Most open-minded man in America.
Always. I mean, that's why I listen to Trap. Legend.
Chris Cornell has a posthumous collaboration with Johnny Cash that is going to be on Forever Words, which is, like, double posthumy.
Yeah, that's strange.
Double posthumy.
I mean, that would be like A friend, wow, that's only people who listen to classical music are gonna get that joke. So we have friends listen, Frederick Chopin both created a duet, and now that comes out now, it's like, whoa, what the fuck? All right.
Well, it's not exactly that. So,
yeah.
Basically, a bunch of artists created songs from Cash's unused poetry, lyrics, letters, things like that. And so it's Johnny Cash's lyrics performed by Chris Cornell.
Okay, so okay, be that's
like
different.
If Chopin had some unreleased Beethoven pieces and was like, "Let's go."
Yeah, pretty much, but yeah, I mean, actually, and that has happened. Different artists, I think I've said that before with like Chopin's work. He said, some pieces he didn't want to get transcribed when he was alive, but people made it when. Transcribed it and released it when he after he died, so it's kind of similar to that. Okay, this makes more sense. Now you put that in that context. That's kind of cool.
That's what I do. I put things in context. At Dan from the internet. Anyways, on Twitter, no, not on Twitter. It's Dan from the web guy.
Wow. Yeah, that. There's a lot of so that's like Johnny Cash Forever words. There's a lot of different artists that did this.
Yeah, Jesus. That's what I was trying to say. And so Forever Whoa. Words, you might it comes out on April 6th. We could review that maybe. That might be kind of cool.
I'm down. Why not?
I like Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash is like one Dude. Of those... He gets pegged in the country. I don't think you can peg him in the country, personally.
He's Americana, if you can count it as Americana back in the day, technically. Before it got all SJW bullshit, hipster, Lana Del Rey, hashtag... Or in quotation marks, Radiohead and some bitch.
Speaking of problematic, H&M stole someone's music. So. Don't you love my segues?
That's interesting. H&M can't get. Ha and M can't catch a break.
Yeah, they claimed, and they used a song in a trailer on Instagram, I believe, and the song was called Bamboo by Harvey Sutherland, and it was released about 3 years ago. They claimed that the song was specifically produced for H&M, and the song doesn't have a name, but Harvey Sutherland was like, I got the receipts.
I got the SoundCloud file, here you go. That's how rough is it that you have to link your SoundCloud to H&M, be like, give me the royalties, bitch.
Like, this, I think this is a dynamic of the music industry that we're not talking about. Like, brands are misusing, like, they're misusing Hashtag. Music. They're not paying artists, which is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I'm someone who, I've shopped
at H&M. Pay your taxes.
Yeah, pay your taxes. Sean and I have shopped at H&M from time to time. Every once in a while. And... it's not like they're starving. They're a pretty popular brand. Pay your artists. Oh, big. Like, it's like, not
pay,
that
pay
complicated.
Pay your taxes. Like, pay up. Like, no, I can say that. I'm not going to say that. But you know who has to pay up, Dan. You know what move I'm making right now. Pay up. You got to pay up. You said something. You used somebody else's thing. You got to pay up. Come.
I'm really on the last ropes with H&M. It's annoying.
Yeah, I mean, go Fred Perry. It's more expensive.
With the money that I have.
That's insane. I mean, get $100 polos, but they fit well.
I'm starting to kind of weigh the economics of becoming a student for the rest of my life and continuing to fall into debt, but being able to use Top Man student discount forever.
We could use Top Man. Top Man's like a hit or miss, though, to be honest. But people don't want to listen to our fashion... shit, because we don't have a fashion podcast, unfortunately, which we
Yet.
Could make, probably.
We won't. Yeah, we absolutely won't. We really should. Let's talk about Don Diablo's new album, Future. And so this has been a very hotly talked about or, like, looked forward to album in electronic music. We even talk about how albums in electronic are kind of strange, right? Or, like, not coming out that often. And so this is Don Diablo. He's a pretty well-known, kind of, like, future house DJ, I would say.
I'd call him straight. Like, he's EDM. Like, if you can make EDM into, like, its own genre thing, which we've been talking about for a while, I think you can put him into that.
I mean...
Which, I want to hear your review first and everything, because I'll get to why I say that, in a bit.
Alright. We can talk about that. We can talk about that. But this album came out. I thought it was pretty good. I think it has a lot of everything in this. I think there's a lot of the type of EDM that I can sometimes get tired of, but sometimes like, but Sean absolutely hates, which is like the... like
yep. It's, nailed it.
Right on the head. But it's the kind of... that's like... has this really big build-up and drop, like a very formulaic kind of style thing. And we've talked about that formula many times. We might have that a little bit more. But it has some songs that are like that. But the more you get into the album, the more you get a lot of gems that kind of, like... one song, I think it was Killer, I believe, that mixed kind of, like, drum and bass and trance in a way, but also in a way that mixed house. So that was really cool. Reflections of that was really groovy kind of throughout the album. I think there may be like a little bit of filler, and it's not a huge album. It's 16 songs, 55 minutes, which I think for an electronic DJ is about right on par.
Yeah, I like most of the albums that are about an hour length for electronic. Like, Deadmau5 albums are usually about that length, and that's like the perfect.
Yeah, so this fits about in there. And yeah, there is a lot. I will say that the biggest shortcoming with this album is the, like, two-dimensional EDM lyric design shit that's, like, in every single song where all the lyrics just really, like... if you had a relationship in high school, maybe the lyrics are relatable to you, but anything bigger than that is, like, not actually there. That, like, kind of overdone trope. So, like, I think the weaknesses of that album go when it gets too mainstream. But I think there's a lot in the album that does a lot of genre blending. It shows that Don Diablo is kind of like one of the more talented and nuanced of the genre. That's kind of like my opening statement, I suppose. Sean, what do you think?
The first three songs I legit hated. Because it is the hypey-typey bullshit of EDM that people have been doing since 2013. When EDM really became a thing, people started using it as, like, to describe music and whatnot.
It became from electronic and techno, even. Like, I know a lot of music was described as techno, but...
yeah, exactly. People would say techno, or they would say... or you could even say house or whatnot, if people knew dance. What they're talking about. Or people say dance. Now, and then EDM really started, and this is what EDM is, like, in my... like, what I say. If people think of EDM, this is what they think. When we went to Hard Summer, and I go, God damn, some of the shit's rough, and then you had some of the underground... legit house techno guys that were really good. But anyways,
you're using EDM as kind of like a pejorative here.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah.
I'll let you finish your point. So the first three songs you didn't like that much.
No, because of that. It was the same thing, up, drop, lyrics that are... I have no substance to them. They're just empty. All bullshit. Things that I've heard since 2012, 2013. It's... electronic music, especially EDM-E, if you want to call it whatever, that type of build, pause, drop, have some female, have some stupid lyrics like, oh, blah, 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 sun's water, why do you break my heart, some bullshit. Now we're going to have a music video of like cats flipping around in space with rainbow glasses and fireworks coming out of their buttholes and shit.
My aesthetic.
Yeah, Dan's aesthetic, Purple's aesthetic, that's rough. break. It gets very old very quickly, and for me at least, and this is one of the albums that did that a lot, and it's Trap and EDM have this problem, where they both have artists that really, really sounds similar to one another. Where we went to Hard Summer in 2014, and there was a couple artists I heard that sounded almost exactly the same because they were doing have the same formula, plug in, copy paste basically. Trap has some of that problems as well, and there's a couple songs like Killer. I will admit does go hard because that one he mixed and kind of went in between the two genres of deep progressive house techno with a new EDM type of wave, whatever you want to call it. and mixed them together, and it did sound pretty well. There's a couple that were just straight trance works, and there's others that were just bang your head, go crazy, hit walls, and eat like six Xanax and pop a Molly while you're at it. Fuck it, why not?
The Vicks VapoRub part of the album.
Straight up, like, you're going mental, grow your hair out long so you can pull it out, songs. Yeah, it was all over the place, kind of crazy, which I thought was going to happen because I knew his work from before from the scene of DJ sets and stuff, and I go, this might be kind of mental. There were a couple of gems, but Killer was good, and the rest was just that annoying EDM-y thing, which I've heard for so long, which people, a lot of Europeans put in their FIFA compilations of scoring some ridiculous goal, like put some build up and some bullshit music. Like, I've heard it so often, dude. Change it, do something different, whatever. It's all bullshit.
I think the second half of the album was a lot stronger than the first half, because the second half of that album,
definitely,
it did a lot more differently. It did a lot more like genre, like subgenre blending, so like different parts of EDM going together, and I thought it was like really kind of nice as a whole piece. But yeah, I like Bright Skies. I liked Even Give Me Love. I like Higher a bit, but I think my favorite song on the album, along with my score, just doing letter grades here, I give this a B-. I think of the genre, and I think, especially for Don Diablo, this is really good. This is a small, admittedly, but like modest evolution in what he's doing. And yeah, if maybe we could say the album could have been organized a little bit differently, but again, I'm weighing that more with artists who really do that well, so like that's a big benefit. And when you don't, I'm just like not caring about it too much anymore, because I'm feeling a little defeated on the issue. But I think a lot of the songs on the end pack a lot of punch. A lot of the songs the beginning are filler, which is like a little meh. But, like, I think it's pretty strong as someone who, like, has more of a favorite in the genre. So, yeah, I would say, go ahead.
Okay, I get that. I give it just a C, like, solid middle C. Like, you go on the keyboard, you hit middle C. Like, that's what it is. Nothing special. A couple good songs. I like at the end, yeah, the last half of the album when he was kind of mixing the two, but it sounded like a normal DJ set in that way. Nothing really stood out of the album, and that first half, god damn, I almost wanted to turn it off, because I'm like, if this is the whole album, I can't do it. But I'm glad he turned it around. I gave it like, alright, I'm giving you 5 songs to change your shit, or I'm gonna pull my hair out. And like the 4th song he did, I'm like, good, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, so whatever, 70%.
My favorite song was
You Pass.
You passed. My favorite song was People Say, I would say, for sure.
People Say? Alright, yeah. Killer is definitely mine.
Alright, pretty close.
But that's the thing. Yeah, well, that's because it was definitely more like a house type of theme.
I think Reflections was pretty house, too.
It was. But that came like right after. Yeah, that came right before Don't Teach Me. Perfect. Yeah, I know. On song 10. It's okay.
So next.
There we go.
Next is Bishop Nauru.
Young Bishop. So
he announced that Elevators Act 1 and True, being produced by K Tronada and MF Doom, is going to be coming out.
Stole my name.
March
16th. Damn.
March is going to be a good month.
March is going to be wild, man. We got a lot of releases in March. Jesus. This is a good year.
I think I'm starting to pick up on the pattern that, like, the beginning of the month, music-wise, is when it gets kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah. In the latter of the month, it's kind of whatever, because, like, yeah, actually, come to think of it, that's when a lot of releases are in the beginning of the month. See, Moonshaped Pool was May 8th, because that came out along with, like, two or three other albums on my birthday that time. Yeah. A lot of big releases come out early in the month. Come to think of it. Damn. Anyways, yeah. Sorry to get you out to go in my own mind.
Yeah, that's I found some really interesting news I'm going to put in a moment really sneakily because I'm a professional. But with this album, I'm really excited about it. We were kind of referencing it earlier that Emperor Nauru's New Groove we had just listened to, really good. Had a lot of like nice tracks on it. I think this like another Bishop Nauru album, Nauruvian Doom, produced by Doom, was also really good. So I have really high hopes for this. Hopefully,
yeah, I do too.
Bishop like continues to evolve as a lyrical producer. Hopefully Doom kind of like sticks in production. That sounds weird to say, but you know my opinion on that. I just wanted to stay legendary. Don't sound corny, please.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it because the one thing that they posted was pretty cool. So, and I think Doom as a producer will be a little bit better. Whoa, what?
Yeah, so we'll be talking about what I just put in there in a moment, but Apple Music is on track to pass Spotify and subscribers, which is going to be really interesting as the whole, like, industry shit part of the conversation.
But you know why? Because everybody basic has an iPhone. Kill your masters.
If you do have an iPhone and you're listening to this podcast, we love you, and we would love it if you supported us by rating us 5 stars on iTunes.
Rate us 5 stars on iTunes, then go to google.com, type in Pixel, click button.
But before you switch to another smartphone that is not sponsoring the podcast, rate us on iTunes. That would be awesome.
Yeah, please rate us on iTunes. All jokes aside, I used to be deep state, deep hardcore Apple for the longest time until when they changed to Apple Music and then deleted half of my library, which I'm still fucking butthurt on because that's like $1,000 worth of music that they just like you don't own anymore. So Tim Cook can go Apple. Hop on Tim Cook. No, this is gonna be funny. The Falcon Heavy with that Tesla that's going to Mars, Tim Cook, you can ride passenger seat, say what's up. Maybe he can. I didn't say anything bad. I just said he could be in passenger seat, you know, and maybe listen to some music on Apple Music, but maybe not because it'll delete half your library.
David Bowie. I think Tim Cook loves David Bowie. But so why we're actually talking about this is because this is a power thing, right? And so Apple Music has had a lot of leverage by having artists premiere their albums on Apple Music first. Spotify has gotten leverage kind of by the fact it has a lot of users, but yeah, a lot of people have iPhones and Apple devices, and so they'll just pick up the music because it's there.
Yeah, and a lot of the big name artists and stuff that a lot of people listen to, you have to go through them, and that's a big thing too.
That being said, even though Apple has been like giving like artists these like really big deals to give them a couple weeks of
upticks.
Yeah, and a couple of weeks of, like, embargoing of, like, they premiere the album. A couple of weeks of exclusivity is the word I'm looking for. I think even though artists have done that in the past, and I think Taylor Swift did that just last year, I think artists are starting to move away from doing that as a business model because it's just not working. And so it goes back into this whole thing of, are artists getting paid properly? Of course not, but, like, how is that going to change based on the business models of these tech giants? Because tech giants dictate all of our money now.
That's
how about Bitcoin? How's your Bitcoin?
That's what I said. Hashtag kill your masters and always invest in Bitcoin and Ethereum and Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash and all the cryptos and AudioCoin, sponsored by Bjork.
AudioCoin? Love AudioCoin.
I love AudioCoin. It's going to be the next dollar. Yeah, fuck Apple.
So this is breaking news that,
this is kind of wild. What the hell?
This is breaking news because we're recording on a Sunday, Sunday morning. But Yasiin Bey, aka Mos Def, is announcing another Black Star album, which is a project he did with Talib Kweli a while ago. And apparently it's going to be coming out and Madlib is producing it. Madlib, who you know, amazing producer from many good things. Of course, Mad Villain.
Mad Villain, which is one of the greatest albums ever made. Yeah, because the main thing for me, when you put Yasiin Bey, I'm like, I thought he retired.
I thought he was retired too.
He was supposed to be retired from like all public life because he's like, I'm over it. I did some crazy shit in my life. I was on that Young Vox thing of look at human torture and they tortured me and shit. Don't sleep. yeah. Apparently it's a thing.
So, apparent.
Which is weird seeing people call him Yasinbe, by the way, not Mos Def. That's really weird, but I'll allow it.
Well, whatever he does, I hope it's better than December 99th, because that album wasn't really that great. And I hope he doesn't leave the United States, because he was trapped in Africa for a minute.
Because he might get his passport removed again.
Oh, man. That was amazing. Next, this should be exciting. Let's talk about the Wombat's new album.
Yeah, let's do it, actually. I'm kind of interested to hear your take on it. So Wombats, beautiful people, will ruin your life. I mean, I'll allow it, sure. It's a good title. As I agree with the fucking title of an album. So it is pretty I don't like that
I'm sorry,
laugh.
Sorry, continue. No, I was laughing at your whole, like, verbal fumble.
Yeah, it's me. When the hell do I not fumble my words? 11 songs, 37 minutes. Thank you. Good man. Good people. Best. Only make the best. Yeah, good shit. Keep it being short. Pause. Anyways, the first two songs were kind of... I didn't expect it to be this way. It was that normal alternative music, whereas like Weezer back in 2010 era, where... just your bog standard alternative, which I haven't heard in actually a hot minute, come to think of it. Because everything alternative has been doing a lot of stupid trap snare drum, like with Foster the People, which really annoyed me last year, and I like gave them a new asshole when the album came out. Then
that was
a couple other that was great. A couple other albums were just hit or misses for alternative. And this one just reverted back for the first couple of songs. Especially the first two songs, Cheetah Ton and Lemon to a Knife Fight, were just your bog standard mid-2000s alternative rock songs. And I go, okay. And then Turn, which is the third song, turned the album. Ha! And it was actually a pretty decent song where kind of still bog standard alternative, but I had a good riff and some decent lyrics into it, and then the rest of the album was okay after that. Nothing too special, but yeah, Black Flamingo was pretty cool too. But I was
Black
worried
Flamingo
at first.
I really
the first,
like as well.
Yeah, I was worried at first. The first two songs were like just your bog standard. You know how like Three Doors Down, every song sounds the same. Like literally every song is the same.
Oh my god, that's so
funny. That's what it felt like for the first two songs. I go, no, please don't do this to me. And then it was like, alright, now, but it was refreshing to hear old alternative. I haven't heard it in a while, so, and I thought it would sound dated, but didn't sound, the first two songs definitely did. The rest of the album didn't sound dated. It sounded like a new alternative, and I know we're in this crossroads era of trying to figure out what, alternative music can be. I mean, look at the horrors of last year, where that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Album of the year for, I think both of us did that. On the Young Audio Face Awards. Which you should all listen to, because it's a hilarious podcast.
If it yeah, I liked it. Being the people in it.
The beautiful people. Yeah, I like it. What's your take?
So, I think every other song on this album is good.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, Cheetah Tongue was the single I had heard off of this album before The Wombat's not something I'd really, like, heard much of before. I'd heard some, like, songs here and there, but, like, it was just a name that I heard. I saw they were coming out with a new album on the calendar, and I was like, okay, this is cool. I'll check it out and look into it. But after that, I think that was, like, a really good intro song, but also maybe like the peak of the album for me. It kind of has that vibe of Dreams by Beck, where it's like really fresh, poppy, alternative rock, but really like upbeat.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I like that shit. So I thought it was pretty cool. And then Lemon to a Knight fight does that as well. You're right, turn does have that change. And it's interesting how they kind of navigate, but it's just such a jump high. High as in, like, tempo and... Yeah, tempo
yeah,
is
yeah.
a good turn.
The musicality.
From Cheetah Tongue, and it doesn't really come back to that for the rest of the album, which is a little bit jarring and interesting for me. I'm not sure if I really like that.
All right.
Black Flamingo is, though, really good, but again... There are a lot of songs that are otherwise forgettable. Out of My Head, I also like. I Only Wear Black, I also like. And Dip You in Honey, I also like. And I Don't Know Why I Like You, But I Do is okay, but it's kind of a weak album ender to me. And so that's kind of what I felt like. There's some songs that are forgettable, there are some songs that were a bit above standard, but yeah, like pretty standard, I would agree. And, you know, I like to throw in albums every... Oh, High Traffic. I like to throw in albums every once in a while where it's, you know, this might be a little bit different, this might be someone doing something a little interesting, and I'm glad that I threw this in there to see, like, what, this is part of us building our rock thesis of is rock dead for this year, and this definitely isn't bringing it back, but it was interesting, it was a nice little thing to listen to this week that I kind of, like, enjoyed, but probably won't be coming back to, except for maybe
Cheetah. Yeah.
That's a pretty rad song.
Yeah, I agree big time on that, where it's like, it's bog standard. It's a little refreshing to hear it again, because I haven't heard it in a little bit, but it's nothing special that I definitely won't be listening to it again. Like, maybe once or twice here or there. It's not like MGMT, where I'm going to listen to this when we're done recording, when I'm eating lunch. That shit goes hard. Arbitrary score. Here he is first. I usually give mine first, so...
I'll give it a C. And, like, if I could give it an exact percentage, it'd be, like, 76%. 77%.
Alright, it's pretty close to what I would do. Yeah, I would say, like, it's 78. Like, a C+. Like, almost a B.
A low
C+. Yeah, exactly. Where it's just, it's a little too empty in that way. It's okay. Kind of refreshing, but we'll see what happens.
So, Travis Scott is no longer going to be facing riot charges because he pled guilty to disorderly conduct at a concert.
Riot charges? I didn't realize it was for a riot. Damn. That's rough.
We talked about this because he was inside. He was encouraging people to come on stage, you know, just be wild with one of his concerts.
That's right. I remember.
Yeah, I remember. We just kind of laughed at the time, but the charges have been dropped from that. Because I've seen. It depends where you draw the line, because that's definitely no more wild than, like, some rock concerts I've seen and been to.
Just gonna not say anything. Let's move on.
When Sean wants to move on, it's probably best for my career that I do.
I'm saving you. Wow, really? Jesus Christ.
So Migos Culture 2.
Yeah, Migos Culture 2 is the number one album in the country.
On top of Billboard 200, because it sold 199,000 equivalent album units, which is that whole numbers game.
Huh.
So, yeah, they won the numbers game by having a super long album, and, like, also, it's not just because, it's not like they only released an album with, what, like, 24 songs that all sounded vaguely the same, and then a bunch of people liked it, and that's how they got on the charts. It's that they're moderately talented, and they created an album with, like, 24 songs that charted because a bunch of people liked it. Like, it's an interesting thing. Like, yeah, they knew the system and they gamed the system and they did it well. But yeah, like we said, musically, I still love a lot of the songs on the album, but, like, I go through songs very quickly, especially mainstream songs. Like, I liked Shape of You until about 3 weeks of hearing it, and it's starting to get like that with me with the Migos album. So
yeah, I hated Shape of You when it came out. It's one of the worst songs ever made, and
now
you're talking about
getting to
good electronic shit. My favorite DJ, which is Scream, or Screamism on Instagram, and I think his SoundCloud is Screamism. The father of dubstep, ironically, turned housegoer. Anyways, Dennis Ferrer is to make a debut with a back-to-back project with Scream. He had some, like, he was posted on his Instagram, I think, well, it's all English time, so I was trying to like, convert in my head. But last night, and Scream put on his Instagram of some of the tracks that he was doing. Shit sounds good. God damn. Progressive techno house. So stuff that you really don't hear that often in the mainstream. I mean, it's still underground, really. EDM got the more of the thrill. But you still have really good artists out there making shit. So let me check if there's like a date. It just says early 2018. I don't know March. So probably March, if anything. Yeah, so looking for that.
The beginning of our months are gonna be like interesting music wise, probably for the rest for a while.
Yeah. So Scream back to back. I love back to backs because those are B2Bs for people that know or see EDM. The acronym and don't so yeah. Who don't know it. Those B2Bs are some of my favorite.
Like, describe them.
So it's really big with techno and progressive house, where one artist or group, I'll say, starts first on the stand. So like actually here, Scream and Disclosure had some B2Bs. That's how the first one I ever B2B. The first one I ever heard of Disclosure was with Scream back in 2012. Don't sleep on Boiler Room YouTube channel. It's when one artist goes and starts the DJ, and then another artist kind of comes in and starts his own mix, and they go back to back. They keep going back and forth. One will have a mix for like 10, 15 minutes, depending on how long they want to go, and then the guy will come in and redo, like, change it up, do a different sound.
Yeah, and, so if you're not
it's
in,
if you're really not cool.
If you're not into electronic music that much, it's like this. It's like a back and forth, more or less. It's like,
yeah.
You play your stuff, and I play my stuff, and we keep going back and forth. And it's really cool. I saw, like, God, it was like a Diplo and a Jaws B2B, I think, at EDC.
Damn.
It was so, God, that was amazing. It was a really good show, yeah.
Actually, Scream at EDC Orlando did a couple B2Bs, too. So, yeah, we'll see what's up with that, because house music, actual good electronic shit, none of this happy-typey bullshit. Anyways, now we're gonna go into
our fourth album review.
Our final album review of the day. We are, how long are we into this recording? We're hour and 14.
An hour and 14. Yeah. Not bad. Not
bad. Not bad. Not bad.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. So, Franz Ferdinand, always and always.
Always ascending. Ascending.
Yeah, so 10 songs, 39 minutes long. Again, hitting that prime spot right there.
Every album we've reviewed today, nicely sized. Just,
like, hey, he's like, you get, it's like what Thomas Müller gives you, direct cross into your foot, and all you have to do is tap it in for a goal. That's a soccer joke. And if you want to have more soccer football talk and really get your mind blown, listen to the We Made It podcast. On the Syndicate 23 Network. Bam and C's and some of their guests. They have a wide variety of guests coming on there, doing their thing. Really good shit. Listen to them out. Always want to shout out to my boys. Put me on again, damn it, assholes. no, I'm good. I'll talk when Champions League is over and I'm down. I'll yell at people for Bayern or some shit. Anyways, always ascending. Yeah, I'm learning how to content. I mean, you just saw my shit yesterday.
They grow up so fast.
Right? It only took me like 3 years. Interesting album for me. Hits and misses. The first song, Always Ascending, goes so hard. That's a really, really good song. Same thing with like MGMT, When You Die, and a little Dark Age, where when the single came out of Always Ascending, I had to be careful because I knew I could listen to it too much. So I listened to it like twice, and then it came on naturally on MBE once. And I'm like, all right, I'll listen to it again. And that was it. And I waited till the album came out and made it that much better. There was some song that just, it was kind of all over the place where it would go kind of fast paced, synth alternative rock, and then it would go acoustic slow, and then back to synth alternative, then back to slow. It was like up down up down up down up down, like really hilly topography. Always Ascending, really good. Glimpse of Love, great. Feel of Love Go is really good. Paper Cages too. I didn't like Lazy Boy at all, which is the second song. It kind of disappointed me. Yeah, I don't know why. I think just because of the lyrics. If the lyrics are a little different, I might like it. I like the musicality of it, the beats and everything, but the lyrics didn't do it for me. Finally is okay, and Academy Award, I didn't like that either.
I liked Academy Award.
No, I don't know why. I don't like it. Rest of the album's good. Pretty much. It's Academy Award I didn't like. Rest of the album's good. So, some hits and misses for it, but overall, I liked it. Honestly, I had to listen to it like two or three times to really get into it. It took me a bit. I don't know if you had the same thing for you, or not.
No, not really. I mean, well, I will say it took me two times to really get into it, but it tends to happen with me with Franz Ferdinand albums, so I've just, like, understood that now.
Yeah, I'll come to think of it. I mean, when's the last album? What? 5 years ago or so?
Yeah. And they've gone through some, like, personnel changes since then as well. And I think that's
really good. Oh, that's right. I forget about that.
Because they've been... Their first album came out in 2004. And so they've had... And I think I described this in some way, like, Black Keys effect, where you have a sound, and it's your sound, and you stick to it for a while. I think I was describing... who did we talk about? AWOL Nation, where they have their sound, it's very distinctive, and they had stuck to it for a while, but it was beginning to get stale. And Franz Ferdinand are at an age, as far as how old the band is, where it was beginning to get like that. And I think this album is what they needed to kind of escape that. It still has their sound, but it's their sound moving forward. And I think that's very commendable for an alternative rock band, because... I mean, alternative rock bands are getting killed. Rock is getting killed in general. And it's hard to make an album kind of, like, sound fresh and modern and nice. And I think MGMT also did that this week as well. They kind of cemented themselves in showing that they can make multiple albums and kind of, like, evolve their sound and still kind of be, like, unique and good in that. I think they did that here, too. They're definitely worse. I think there was a lot of... drop. I get what you're saying. We're like, some songs were really, really good, and sometimes songs really, really were like lacking, I would say. Not really lacking, but in comparison to the really good songs, kind of lacking. But
yeah,
I think that could also be chalked up to placement changes as well. Because the songs themselves were of quality, and the range was like, oh, this is a Franz Ferdinand take on a slower song that I wouldn't have seen on any other Franz Ferdinand album. So, like, my issue with Right Thoughts, Right Words, Right Action when it came out in 2013 is that it seemed like not only was Franz Ferdinand kind of stuck to a sound, but they were almost kind of stuck to a tempo. Like, every song had the same tempo and pacing, which is, like, I like fast pace, that's cool, but this album, Always Ascending, has different pace, and so you can get some of the slower songs, and so that might be different, maybe, but... I like that now they're kind of experimenting with different formats. And I thought more times than not, when they did that, they landed on their feet. It's just that there's such a kind of range out there that I think they could have improved some of those slower songs a bit more. Improved how? Maybe that could have been some more room for experimentation. But... this feels more like a refinement of Franz Ferdinand than like a whole revolution. And refinement was very sharply needed. But I think it mostly came out well.
Yeah. I didn't even think of it that way, to where they were stuck for a bit. I mean, granted, because that was almost 5 years ago, so I haven't thought of it that much. And it kind of caught me off guard with how it was so up and down. I didn't like it towards the end. The first couple I didn't like, but that's because, as I said before, it took me a bit to get into the album, and I started to really like it. Then some of the songs are really good. Like, I've been listening to Always Ascending, like the song, a lot this week too, along with a lot of the MGMT. So overall, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Let's go to the end scores, or let's go favorite song first.
Favorite song. I think I'll have to choose Feel the Love Go.
Feel the Love Go? That's a good song. It's pretty strange.
Yeah.
I have to go Always Ascending and be basic, but it's a damn good song. Close second, though, is Glimpse of Love. It's a good song.
I think Glimpse of Love is really cool, and honorable mention to Paper Cages.
Paper Cages is kind of cool. I like that song.
And so I say my final score for this is a... Again, it's a B-, but it's a high B-.
I mean, that's pretty much what I was going to give it to. You cuck. I thought you were going to give it like a solid B or B+. But yeah, I was going to give it B- as well. Or even close to solid B.
Like 83% is what I'm aiming for right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Solid 83. Like, you're not dropping grades. You're keeping the class. You can go to the next class if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, decent.
I mean,
album.
You're above average. Don't get me wrong. This album is great, and it's got range, but there definitely could have been by better. I want to just be like more subjective than that. I guess they could have gone further with changing their sound, but I'm glad they changed it, and I think they changed it enough for me to like not complain about it too much.
All right.
Yeah, I think in a way that's a compliment, because for me to say I wish they went further. Means that that's a comparison for me saying they didn't like, not only did they not like stagnate, but they didn't try something and mess up. So they did the good thing of trying something a little bit different, and they did pretty good. But I think with 5 years, I would have expected a little bit more range.
And the fact that you want more is good too, because that means you like them already, and like you want them to succeed. You don't want them to go down. That makes any sense. Which is always good for, because sometimes you can just give up on artists and say, fuck it, do whatever you want at this point. So, anyways.
Which brings us to Drake.
always on Audioface. What do we end on unless this is a discussion day? But it's not discussion day because I don't want this to be a 7-month podcast. We always end on some ridiculous thing that I try not to get banned for my own podcast for saying.
So Drake was in Miami this week. And he did some shoots at a bunch of different places, but apparently one thing he did was he was at, I believe there was one point he was at a high school, but he decided to donate $50,000 to a 20-year-old college student's tuition. So no, that wouldn't have been at the high school. She would have been in college already.
Hell, that's random. Okay, Drake, you do you.
He shot the video for God's Plan, which he just released from Scary Hours or whatever that plagiarized album cover was. He donated $25,000 to the school, and he shot part of the visual there. So I guess the visual's gonna have to do a lot with Miami and him doing good deeds, because I guess in lieu of paying your fair share in taxes and contributing to society, we just let it be okay when celebrities just pay off on little one-off things. Like, hey, I donated $50,000 to one person. That should be good enough. Now shut up about me paying more money in taxes.
Yeah, be like, hey, look, I'm a good citizen. I paid off one thing, but like, how many other people did you screw over in your life? And I'm gonna get banned for saying that. So this has been episode 36.
Wait. So what is next week? So next week is probably gonna be on releases sides. I don't know if a lot coming out next week, but we'll have conversations for sure. I don't really see anything that's coming to mind. But if you see something that's coming to mind, you should reach out to us.
I'll link it.
If there's a new release, tweet at us at AudioFacePod. You can still follow Sean and I. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at DanFromTheWeb. Twitter at DanFromTheWeb. Instagram and YouTube and Facebook at DanFromTheInternet. And then Sean is SW Suarez on both. But forget all that. You should just follow AudioFacePod on Twitter and Instagram, and that'll get directly to us, and you can tweet to us, and then you can talk music to us, give us recommendations, say we're stupid, say we're smart. I mean, you know, just shoot the shit and chill with our conversations. But definitely next week we'll be talking about phones at concerts. We'll be talking about classical music again, and whatever else news music happens next.
Whatever, if someone does something stupid, we'll talk about it.
It's been a while since we've had a No Chill Island.
It really has been a while, and we should make one.
No Chill Island is a segment where it's a slow news week, but there's a bunch of ridiculous news, and so Sean and I play a game where we just have, like, the hottest, most ridiculous take for a story. The first one who gets bleeped loses. Slash wins.
Yeah. hey, rappers, do something stupid, like shoot somebody, or do something whatever, so that way I have to get bleeped from my own podcast. Like, that's
Sean,
cool.
With great power comes great responsibility. Don't wish death.
Next thing I know, shit. I'm not gonna say a name.
Don't even say a name. Don't say a place.
I'm not gonna say anything. Damn it! Anything? This... No, just stop. Just stop. This has been episode 36 of Audio Face, and you can follow me on my Triathlon Adventures at Estegusores, and follow all of our social media accounts for Audio Face at Audio Face Pod. Pretty much at everything.
Yeah, we
follow
we
our
Instagram
shit.
You know.
Yeah, we don't have plugins.
Follow us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wolves. We'll be back next week.
Cheers.